Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Jordana here. David at the helm. Paul still on vacay. I wonder if he's still getting robocalls in Argentina. Probably, if he has his service on. I would say I average 2 robocalls a day. Most of the time, they're when I'm on the air. So, I mean, my friends and family know that I cannot pick up the phone when I'm on the air. It's always a phone number that I don't recognize yet. Some of them have the same prefix as my phone number. Some of them are local here in Minnesota. And they're always robocalls because they never leave a message. And then I go in and I block them. And then I get more the next day. It makes me want to shake somebody. I am not the only one, my friends. I'm sure you feel the same way, but Joshua Browder really feels the same way. Joshua is the CEO of Do Not Reply. His company has created not only a way to help block robocallers, but also a way to sue them. Joshua, you was gracious enough to join us on the phone right now. Joshua, so thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I should say it's donotpay.com, not do not reply, but that's a great name for us.
Do not pay, right? Donotpay.com. That's what it has to be. Do not pay, okay?
That's right. Thank you.
No problem. Joshua, tell me about this new app that you say can block and then sue. The sue is where I get in the weeds. So how does the application work?
So there's this law in the U.S. It's called the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. And what it means is if you're signed up for the federal Do Not Call list, every time you get one of these calls, you can sue the robocaller for up to $3,000 in compensation. So the app will sign you up for this federal list. And when you get a call, it will start collecting evidence and then generate all the paperwork to get you this cash compensation.
So you don't even have to do anything. You don't even have to pick up the phone. You don't have to file a lawsuit. You just download the app and then the app takes the call?
You still have to pick up the phone. And okay. One thing you mentioned when you're introducing this is you don't know who these people are, so how could you sue them? And the way the app works around that is you can actually give them, the spammer trying to sell you something, our virtual credit card. And when they try and run the card, that's when it gets their name, address, and phone number, everything you need to sue them.
Okay. So what you do is you give us the fake credit cards, and that sort of ensnares them. It's like entrapment. It ensnares them, and then the authorities know who they are. So then when they try to use the card, I can prove that they tried to damage me, and I can collect damages?
Exactly. And then you can send them a demand letter in the app, and if they don't respond to that, file a lawsuit in small claims court for thousands of dollars.
Okay. Now, does your app walk us through that process, or do we also have to file in small claims court and do that part ourselves?
So the app will actually send it off for you and generate all of this in under 30 seconds. And so this is truly fully automated consumer rights. I should say that this, we're not reinventing the law. About a few thousand people did this in 2019. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to make this strategy of suing robocallers mass market using technology.
Right, and you're just making it really easy with the Do Not Pay app.
That's exactly right. And we've been doing this for a while with lots of other issues, helping people get out of their parking tickets, cancel their subscriptions, fight their bank fees. And I got 4 robocalls on Christmas Day, and I thought enough is enough. We have to expand to robocalls.
So when did you roll it out, and has it already gotten people money?
It has. So we've been testing this since December, and we've had a few settlements. What we've seen so far is the robocallers actually settle more often than not. because they don't want to this going to court, because they're doing this with so many people. They don't want their shady activities being public record. So sometimes all it takes is a demand letter for them to send you a check. Since we launched it publicly about a week ago, we've had over 10,000 people sign up, and we're still waiting to see how many of those we get money back.
Okay, I'm literally signing up as soon as we're off the air because this is super exciting. Have you heard from the robocall industry?
They're a very shady industry.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to call us yet. I mean, I've heard from them I thought this was a robocall because 10 minutes ago I got one. So I hear from them every day, but not about the app.
Well, thank you for picking up. And please do not sue us for $3,000 because we're the real deal.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about, you said some of the other things that your company does. You said get out of parking tickets. What else do you guys do?
So we think of it as a robot lawyer in your pocket that fights for your consumer rights. So it will camp through your unwanted subscriptions, get you out of parking tickets, help with landlord disputes. Bank fees is probably our most popular product. This is where you can connect your bank account, and it will show you all of the hidden fees like overdraft and ATM fees, and actually get that back for you from the bank.
And all of the Do Not Pay app does all of this?
Yeah, it's been 4 years in the making. Mm-hmm. I started it 4 years ago as a student because I got a bunch of parking tickets.
Right.
And I realized that if you know the right things to say, you can get out of your parking tickets. And then from there, I realized that lawyers were charging a lot of money just for copying and pasting documents. Why shouldn't it be done in an app automatically?
So very clever, my friend. And the rest of us are grateful. Joshua, what else did I not ask you about your company? Now, your company is called Do Not Reply, but the app is called Do Not Pay.
No, both are called Do Not Pay, but we should change the name to Do Not Reply one day.
What did I not ask you that consumers need to know?
The biggest thing is that, you know, this has been, we have thousands of five-star reviews on the App Store. I understand with a new thing, maybe you want to wait a few months, and that's fine as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Joshua Browder, CEO of Do Not Pay, I appreciate you coming on with us and explaining this for us, and I, for one, am certainly going to try it out.
We look forward to hearing your feedback. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Joshua. I love that story, too, that he told David. You know, he got a lot of parking tickets, and he realized the attorneys were just cut and pasting. They were just doing the paperwork. So he took that part out of it for us. If anybody downloads this and gets response, I'd love to do our own completely non-official, non-certified study. But I am gonna download it because I get a lot of robocalls. And I'm going to follow through, and I'm going to get one of their fake credit cards and do it and really see if it works.
I'd be curious to see if whatever you can get back is worth the time you put into it, right? Like, it's cool. Okay, I can fight them back. I can do something that's real. But are you going to put in 20 hours to get a $100 check or something like that? Or is it going to be an actual way that you could, you know, substantially increase your financial situation and get paid back for some of the headache you've had?
But he said it's automated. He said, we just made it easy for you. That's why I asked him, okay, well, great. You got to go to small claims court. Well, that's a huge hassle.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. So, but he said, no, the app will file the paperwork for you. Eventually, maybe you'd have to show up. But if they're going to write me a check for $3,000, David, you better believe I am going over to Government Center.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will wait online at the small claims court, and I will make that happen. All right. Again, it's called, sorry about my confusion on that. It was called Do Not Pay. It's a consumer advocacy firm, and it's also created the app. The app is called Robo Revenge. But go to the App Store, check out Do Not Pay, check out Robo Revenge. And I'm literally going to sign up during the break. I'm excited about it. Are you going to do it?
I'm going to wait till you get it all figured out, and then I'm going to do it.
See, you're not an early adapter like I am. You're going to let me take that hit. But that's okay. I'm doing it because I am so sick of these damn robocalls. And by the way, Joshua Browder joined us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. When we get back, David has another story about the weekend. We've been talking a lot about the weekend. First, he is a bridesman. Now he's got to get somebody to watch baby Winter, except that mom has a very different parenting style than David's. And there was some, conflict? We're going to talk about different parenting styles and how you deal with that next. Perfect setting for the best of your life. Check out the website at legendsatberry.com to learn about those income qualifications I was mentioning. as well as the upcoming open houses. They also have an incredible move-in special. You sign a lease in March, and you pay no rent until June. LegendsAtBerry.com.
So have you ever scheduled a play date for your kid, and the mom or dad then calls you and or sends a list of questions? Well, do they have any allergies? And do they, you know, for the little ones, what time do they nap? And are there any, you know, idiosyncrasies about your kid? And do you keep guns in the house? And do you have a dog? They're allergic to cats. And can you make sure you cut the crusts off? Like, do you, have you ever had that parent that either sends a list of demand with their child or asks 5 million questions when yours is just, you know, coming over to play with some blocks, you might think? The reason I ask this is because David and I both had experiences last week with other mothers and fathers with very different parenting styles. Mine was very simple. My daughter needed to be picked up somewhere. There was an event a few days later and she needed to be picked up. And I had a mother saying, well, you know, how are you planning on getting her home? What is the plan? And you know, do you want to plan a ride? And I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, this is 3 days away. Like, I'm literally minute to minute. I cannot plan. Maybe that day I will consider thinking about how my child is going to get home to me. But at this point, that's just not that I totally parent by the seat of my pants. But when it came to getting a ride home from an event on 3 days later, it was definitely not top of mind and I was not planning ahead. And I must have mentioned this to David because that he went on a tear about his experience with baby Winter. So what was your sitch?
Well, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, we have a wedding this weekend and we're involved. I'm in the wedding. So we got
the bridesman.
Well, yes, I'm the bridesman. So that means there's events several nights than days this next coming week, right? So we're looking for people to take care of our little 2-year-old Winter. Nice. And, you know, we're reaching out to a few different people to do this. And one of the families that agreed to take her, ended up on a phone call with the mother of the family that is going to take her. And let me just say, here's the way we do it. My wife has like a text that she'll copy paste and send. And it's like brief instructions.
Sure.
Here usually
like
takes
bedtime,
a nap. Here's the nap time. You know, she takes a Nook and a teddy bear and a blanket and goes to bed. You know, the rest of it you can figure out. Like you're a mother, you're a parent, yeah. You're a productive member of society. You can figure out how to take care of a kid. It's not that hard.
And baby Winter, I guess, is an easy baby.
Yeah, for the most part, I think she's easy. And look, I think, you know, if you were going to take care of my child, like you could figure it out. I wouldn't have to tell you every single thing to do, but
I'll figure it out.
In this case and in other cases that I've experienced, some parents want like such in-depth, detailed things like what exactly should she eat and should she sit in a chair while she eats it and what dietary restrictions and is it okay if she sleeps in this type of bed or this type of bed or that type of bed. And I just want to be – I mean, look, I stayed on the phone and I answered all the questions and it's fine. But I'm like, can you just figure it out? Like, I don't know. She eats food like a person eats food. Like, just feed her some food. If she doesn't like what you feed her something else. It's not rocket science. And I just found myself thinking, like, do we have to make parenting so hard for us?
You know, I think it depends on, A, who you are and how many kids you have. And you're different, David, I think. Because Baby Winter is your first.
Mm-hmm.
And do you like how I call her Baby Winter? She's always going to be Baby Winter
yeah.
to me.
Oh, yeah.
Even when she's 18, she'll be Baby Winter to me. She's your first. So you would think you would be way more high maintenance. Like, no, she only eats the puffs. She only eats Cheerio Puffs. Ugh. We don't feed her any kind of cornmeal. Like, you know, I mean, you think you would be all over that, mm-hmm. but you're not.
Yeah.
But often first-time parents are.
Sure.
So as David is telling me the story, yes, I'm silently judging this other mom, but I'm also thinking to myself, this is her first child, right?
Yes.
Yes. And it is her job to parent this child. It is her full-time job to parent this child.
Yep.
So she is very careful about everything that goes into that child's mouth, at what time, then militant about nap times. Mm-hmm. Like that I get. What diapers, maybe she needs hypoallergenic wipes on that behind. You can't have the regular Pampers wipes. Yeah. I have empathy for parents like that. I also know that by the time the third child comes around, none of it matters. But I feel her pain.
So to me, what it comes down to is, and my wife and I made a conscious decision when we had our first kid. We said, we have a life. We've been married for 7 years and known each other for much longer than that. And we have a life. We have a routine. We know our priorities in life and what we're going to do. And this baby's going to come and change that dramatically.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, we're trying to fit this new human into the life that we already have.
Mm-hmm.
And in some parents that I see, and I don't know. For me, I'm glad I did it this way. But some parents, they end the life that they had before that. And they do baby's life, and everything is baby and then kid centric, and their entire life now revolves around this kid. And I don't know. I can say that's not the way I choose to do it, and I struggle to understand why that's the way some people would approach it.
You know, it's parenting styles are funny. I respect all of them, but I think also we helicopter, and I mean, I don't necessarily. I count myself among that group a little bit. You know, we parent depending on the hypoallergenic wipes and make sure the milk is the right temperature and the sippy cup doesn't have any, you know, pH or DHA or whatever that's phthalates, whatever it's not supposed to have in anymore. It's even changed since mine were little. Because our parents, our baby boomer parents, they didn't care. You know, it was go out and play and you know, until it's time for dinner. So I feel like the pendulum has swung so far the other way that the people that are parenting now felt, I don't know, possibly neglected by that style of parenting, that they want to be involved in every way, shape, and form of that baby's life so they know that they are overly cared for.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fantastic point because the way we were all raised, the way I was raised or you were raised, like greatly impacts the kind of parents we become because we remember what it was like and we know what our parents and the parents of other friends did, and we say, we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So then I think that's a good way to put it. The pendulum swings and you parent a different way. And you know, and that's a good reminder for me because, yes, I'm going to raise a kid the way I want to raise it, but I'm probably going to miss something. I am going to miss something.
Of course.
And then, you know, my daughter is going to swing a different way and parent, you know, her own way.
So did you ever have a conflict with another parent? Did they give you a list, a four-page list of ways to behave while their child was in your home? 651-989-9226. Give us a call. We'll have a few minutes for calls here. I haven't had too many experiences, I think, like this, except my sister is very opposite parenting. Mm. Like, she would call me when my kids were little and be like, okay, and tell me what her kid ate that day. And I was like, oh, no, we're not going to. I really don't have time for this. You know, like we're definitely, but you know, there are some parents that, and I can say this about my sister because she doesn't listen to this show, so don't worry. And she would agree with everything that I tell you. She, you know, like, you know, but you just have to nod and smile and move on, or you choose not to have a play date with that person anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God they're willing to watch Baby Winter while you go to the wedding.
Yes, and it's not severe at all. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine, and she'll have everything she needs and then some.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of just a in the coordinating of that time, just in a little bit of interaction, you just notice how, wow, people parent so differently.
So differently.
Yeah.
And you just have to you take a deep breath. You listen to the list of allergies and fears and phobias and things that you cannot have around, and then you just move on. You hope your kid has a great time on their play date, and everybody comes out alive.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's hard in that moment not to be judgmental. And then once you step back and you think about what you're actually having a conversation, you go, okay, this is so trivial, right? It doesn't really matter that much. But in the moment, it's really tempting to judge other parents.
It is, but
it's not okay.
She is keeping your child alive, so.
Precisely.
I mean, the kind of Cheerios does matter. A little bit, or Wheat Puffs, or whatever they're eating now. Organic, of course.
Yeah, right. If you took care of Baby Winter, she'd be eating Lucky Charms, I bet.
Honey, amen. That's right. In the meantime, I just got a call from my child over the commercial break. She goes, Mom, where are those Reese's peanut butter cups? I know there are Reese's peanut butter cups. I said, there aren't, but there's caramel M&Ms if you want. She goes, no, you took them. She was accusing me of hiding the Reese's peanut butter cups because they're my favorite.
Wait, was she listening to the show to know when you went to commercial break, to know when she could call?
They have the schedule down.
Ah!
I'm telling you, these kids have it down.
That's
they
amazing.
Know when I go to break, and they know when they can call. And sweetheart, I know she's not listening, but there are no Reese's peanut butter cups because if there were, I would have eaten them already. When we get back, David and I are going way beyond the headlines. Woman got fired from her job for being 1 pound overweight.
Can you believe this, David? This is absolutely insane. A seasoned flight attendant who was reportedly fired from Malaysia Airlines for being 1 pound overweight has lost her case in court. They fired her for being the pound overweight. She sued, and now she lost. She worked for the airline for 25 years before she was fired in 2017. She's 5'2", allegedly weighs 133 pounds. That's not like obese.
No.
That's pretty normal, right?
I understand why there'd be a weight restriction for that specific job, but yeah. That doesn't seem
doesn't
like...
sound obese.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm bad at figuring that out, but whatever. So in the meantime, the cutoff for her weight was supposed to be 132 pounds for the healthy range for her height chart on the BMI. So I guess she, under the weight management rules of the cabin crew, she was given a warning. She was given 18 months to lose the pound and received assistance from an in-house doctor. Malaysia Airlines also said that Haseem did not attend several scheduled weigh-ins during that period. Can you imagine going to your job and having to get weighed? It was the worst. When I was a cheerleader in college, they used to weigh us.
What?
And that was always the worst day. Like, we knew that. Yeah, they did.
Why?
I know. It's ridiculous. Okay. Because, well, the boys had to throw us up. So, like, you couldn't be too overweight. You had to, you know, be trim. So we knew that when we would go to practices, we would get weighed. And it was always terrible weigh-in day. Like, we wouldn't eat that day. We wouldn't drink the water just because you wanted to make your weight. It's like wrestlers. It's horrible. I hope they don't do that anymore, by the way. Okay, a complete sidebar. Wait, no, I'm not done yet. Lawyers for the plaintiff noted she was 1 pound overweight and that would prevent their client from doing her job to the best of her abilities. Really, I guess being 1 pound overweight does not prevent you from doing your job to the best of your abilities. But the weight management program was in no way discriminatory. That's what the lawyer said, as it applies to all crew, the opposite lawyer. And the company had times ensured the claimant that all its crew were accorded every opportunity to achieve their premium weight. I mean, she did get 18 months to lose the 1 pound. She could have done the 1 pound in 18 months. But anyway, obviously everyone's mad at Malaysia Airlines, but they were in the right. They got sued. They won. And this woman does not have her job back.
It sounds like a case of she did something else to, you know,
piss everybody off.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And this was their excuse they could use
just
to let her
1 pound.
Ugh.
Boy, the 1 pound, huh? Ooh. All right, now you're up, David. Sorry.
Okay, here we go. Sorry, jumped the gun there. Because I wanted to tell you about another employee who no longer has a job. This is a former Wendy's employee from Michigan who lost his job after a video surfaced of him bathing in one of the kitchen's large sinks. He's taking a bath in the back of Wendy's. It looks like he defended himself. He said he likes to see people happy, and it just kind of hurts his soul to know that people don't really like me that much. That's him trying to say he was just having fun and trying to put a smile on people's face by bathing in the tub in the back of a Wendy's. Now,
was it a tub or was it a sink?
Well, it's like a large sink that they wash dishes in, I think. Now, he did explain that he was not naked. I guess in the video you just saw the upper half of his body. He said, I did have shorts on this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he no longer has a job at Wendy's, and the officials from the restaurant say that they take this very, very seriously and have already taken the proper steps to make sure something like this never happens again.
And hopefully they've sanitized the sink. That is so disgusting.
What would lead you to do that? How do you not know that that's a terrible idea?
So disgusting. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, speaking of fast food, let's stay on that theme. I was going to go to The Bachelor, but let's stick with McDonald's. A McDonald's worker was reportedly assaulted during a very bizarre interaction. A man came up and asked for a cup of water. The cashier reportedly informed the man that the cup normally costs 32 cents, but the system is down, so she offered him the cup of water for free. At that point, the suspect got upset and tried to give her a $100 bill. She said, I can't accept the $100 bill because our system is down, but here is your water for free. He reportedly began to smack her in the face, knocked her to the ground. Another employee attempted to intervene. The suspect struck her as well. He then threw a cookie container at the cashier. Didn't hit her. Then he left the restaurant. Police arrested the man with 2 counts of assault. And this is shocking. Possession of drug paraphernalia. Really? $100 bills and drug paraphernalia? That is shocking. just one of the latest incidents of violence at McDonald's. Another woman resigned from her job after she was punched in the face by a customer. I know it's crazy what goes on. Another customer was reportedly upset and punched the woman because the restaurant took too long to cook her bacon. So you know what? It sounds like cases of food rage of fast food customers taking it out on employees.
I mean, the bacon thing, I get that. I'd be pretty angry, too, if my... No, that's terrible.
Terrible.
Not even bacon is worth it.
Water.
A 55-year-old, or no, I'm sorry, she's older than 55. A woman who, when she was 18, stole a beer stein from a bar in Germany. Now, 55 years later, so she's math,
no,
73, whatever.
72, 73,
she said she's felt guilty for 55 years for the beer stein she stole when she was 18, so she decided to send it back to the establishment, oh, which I cannot pronounce because it's in German and it's like Fluffelaflaflossen. Whatever that is, she sent it back and she included $100 in case it broke along the way that they'd be able to replace it or buy a different one. It turns out there was no need for that money because the mug arrived in perfect condition and the aforementioned bar was very happy, and to show their gratitude, they actually sent her back a new stein and said, you can keep this one with a clear conscience.
Well, it's amazing that the same bar was still open 55 years later.
Yes, that is actually the amazing part of the story.
That's very cool. And you know, there is something to be said for a clear conscience.
Yes.
That haunted her whole life. Probably cost them, 35 cents that mug at the time.
I know, right?
And she stole, and that's one of the Ten Commandments, and she was haunted by it. Wow, good for her. And that's a really cool story. I love the way it ended. One more, The Bachelor for Seniors. Are you looking for love? And over 65? By the way, I don't think you have to be over 65 because I sent this link to a friend of mine who is not over 65, and she already applied. She is looking for love. Yesterday, The Bachelor was a big surprise because the network put out a casting call for people over 65. Now casting seniors looking for love. Hashtag Bachelor Nation. Give us your grumpiest old men. Give us your goldenest girls. That's right. On Instagram, they said, are you entering your golden years and looking for romance? The producers of The Bachelor are looking for active and outgoing single men and women in their golden years looking for an exciting new dating show. I love everything about this. I don't know if anybody's going to watch. I hope they do. And I don't know why they put the ad on Instagram, because I'm pretty sure people over 65 are not on Instagram. But if you are, follow me at Jordana Verde. I'd love to have you on Instagram with me. I love Instagram. But get on this. Here we go. ABC.com/casting. ABC.com/casting. If you consider yourself a senior, maybe it's 60, maybe it's 55, maybe it's 70. I don't know. Go online, because we need to represent from Minnesota.
I think it's millennials that are on Instagram that are like signing their parents up for this.
You know what? I love that. I emailed my friend right away. I go, you need to get on this. Before I even turned around, she goes, already applied on it.
Wow.
Done. I hope she gets on. That would be so exciting.
Maybe she'll call us from...
She's fabulous. Yeah. She just can't find the right one.
That'd be awesome.
You know, it happens at all walks of life.
Okay, one more quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
A man who is out for a run, like a serious run, in the backcountry in the Olympic National Park in Northwest Washington State suffered a broken ankle while he was 10 miles away from the trailhead that he started at. This was at about 5 p.m., no cell service, broke his ankle, and had to crawl for hours through rocky, snowy, dirty trails. He was on his knees for a while, and then he put his shoes on his knees to cover his knees, so he was like crawling for hours and hours. The 26-year-old finally got a text message on his phone that alerted him that he had cell service. He called 911 just after midnight. So again, broke his ankle at 5 p.m., finally had crawled far enough to have service just after midnight, and rescuers arrived at 4 a.m., 11 hours after he had broken his ankle. He's going to be just fine. He's in the hospital now, but can you think of that? Spending almost 12 hours by yourself crawling through the wilderness.
That is unbelievable survival instincts. I'm not that strong. I would have just rolled over and been like, take me now, Lord. I can't do that crawling.
I think about that if I'm snowboarding by myself, which I don't do often. If I do a few runs by myself, I stay. I don't go in the trees. I stay where I know people could see me. So if I fell over and did something, somebody would see me. Because that's terrifying.
Terrifying, the thought of that. Thanks for sharing. It's scaring the crap out of us, David. When we get back, the Astros have stripped tickets from a fan over the sign-stealing lawsuit. We're going to talk with Mike Max about that next. A couple of sports stories I want to ask Maxie about. Did you hear about this Astros fan who had his minor league season tickets revoked? Okay, well, he was unhappy about the stealing scandal, and I do not blame him. I mean, the Astros should be embarrassed and ashamed. It's terrible, the widespread stealing that they did. What happened was Bob Hillard, a season ticket holder with the Corpus Christi Hooks, that's the Astros AA affiliate, he filed a lawsuit. He wanted refunds. He filed a lawsuit on behalf of season ticket holders looking for refunds. The Astros gave Hillard a little bit more. He's had a season ticket package, by the way, since 2005, so he has been a long-time fan. They canceled his season tickets. That's what they did. Canceled. Boom. Done. Canceling. You are canceled. That's what they did. By the way, Bob also held a suite and sponsored fan giveaways for the team at the AA affiliate. It's not going to happen anymore because the Astros canceled him. So not only are they thieves, they're jerks, too. Hillard says, I was extremely affected and offended by the Astros cheating scandal and never once thought it seeped down to the AA team. The litigation is personal to me, given what it represents and how I feel about that kind of thing. And the Astros were like, well, we didn't like you anyway. So you're suing us. We are taking away your season tickets. I guess it's par for the course for that ball club because whoever's running it, clearly the moral compass is way off and needs to be realigned. But I hope that Bob Hillard finds another team to be loyal to and to do sponsored fan giveaways and have a seat for because he seems like he's a huge baseball fan and the Astros do not deserve him. Mike Max, what's the latest, my friend? Did you hear that story?
Yeah, the Astros thing will dominate the headlines for some time. Yeah. I don't know how it goes away peacefully because they'll start throwing at guys, or at least the inference that they're going to throw at guys, and it'll just exacerbate here during the season. I don't know how it comes to a real peaceful end here, how they just move on, if it happens slowly as games are played or not. Saw Marwin Gonzalez briefly here today, because he's on that team now, plays for the Twins. And he had a pretty good season, productive season for the Twins last year, but he was definitely, you know, part of it in 17. And I didn't get a chance to talk to him about it. He addressed it earlier this spring. They're trying to stay out in front of it and everything, but I just don't know how that's going to play out during the year, because every pitcher on every other team wants the Astros to know right now that they might throw at them. And so they want that. They want them to fear that. They want them to know that they, you know, when you come into our place or we go there, we might throw at you.
Right.
They
right.
want them to think about that all the time. So that's why I don't know how this thing goes quietly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can see why people are mad. That's all I got to say, but I can see why people are mad. Let's talk sports, okay? You are in Fort Myers, where the Twins were not. They were at the Atlanta farm team because did they end up winning?
It was 4-4. I think it's ended in a tie. We're sitting here at the complex. I imagine they'll come back any time here now. That is, the bus will show up here any time. Trevor Larnach had 2 home runs for him. That was kind of the headline of the day. And, you know, the ties are fine in spring training. You just want to see your players play. So kind of a nondescript deal. But he gave them a home run in the 9th inning to tie it up. And that's a pretty good deal for him because they look at him as a long-term big bopper for this team.
The Wolves fell to the Mavericks last night, but they're looking pretty good for a top-round draft pick.
Well, yeah.
I'm looking on the bright side, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they gave up 139 last night, and Dallas didn't play their starters in the 4th quarter. So they're becoming the team you want on your schedule again, and the one you go, okay, we know we're going to win that one, so let's save our guys for the next game, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a disaster right now, and they've got to prove that they can get out of this murk. And, you know, Malik Beasley, one of the guys that they – the key components beyond D'Angelo Russell in this deal, they still got to find a way to sign him in the offseason if he's as good as advertised, as good as they think. So they've got that quandary as well. And, they'll get a lottery pick. We won't know who that will be. I've had these conversations so many times over the years.
Yeah.
you know.
Is somebody calling you, Mikey?
They're yelling at me.
Oh, okay.
What are they yelling at me for?
Maybe you'll get us a live interview.
I was trying to. I'm trying to see if the bus is over there.
Mm-hmm.
But
while you're looking, we had a little bit of some scandal about Stephon Diggs. Remember last week when he pulled everything off?
Yeah, what happened to him?
Well, I don't know. He pulled everything off his Instagram, but now Rick Spielman says what? He's staying?
I think, you know, he doesn't have any choice. He's got a contract, so he's got to stay. So he doesn't have any choice in what in what he does.
Mikey, we'll let you go. You go. You get some interviews. You do your thing. You're there to work.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mikey.
So you know, I don't know what you know. He doesn't have a lot of options. He's got to play for the Vikings right now.
Absolutely. Okay. Go back to spring training. The boys are coming off the bus. Go get some interviews.
Thank you.
We'll listen to you tonight, and we'll see you on TV.
Thanks,
Mikey. It's okay. He's distracted. He's working. He's just doing us a favor. It's all good. All good. What I didn't get a chance to talk with him about was this story, and I'm really curious to know what he thinks about this, because he mentioned this a few days ago on our show. Remember, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey squad was down in Vegas, and they were invited by the president to visit with the president. And Mikey mentioned that on stage, one of the daughters of the coach said, you know, my dad would have liked you, said that to the president. Well, the team is getting a lot of flack for being on stage with the president in MAGA hats. Okay? It happened last Friday in Vegas. They were in town for the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. We know about it. We love it. We've been reliving it. There have been many events here locally. So, Mike, you're going to have to help me out with the pronunciation of his name. Is it Urzion? You don't know. All right. David doesn't know. Okay, hockey legend, I guess maybe not such a legend to me, and I apologize if you want to call in and tell me how to say his name, Urzion, said he would not put on the keep. He said if he had to do it again, if he had to have this visit again, he would not put on the Keep America Great Again hat. Those were the hats that were given to them. Well, Urzion said Trump was introducing them at a rally. He said at first it was just an invitation to have a private photo, a photo line with the president. So that's what the team says. That's what Mike says. He says, we were invited to have a private photo line with the president. The next thing we knew, the president was inviting them to a rally, and a campaign aide was handing them caps as they walked up on stage. Four of the former players of the team chose not to wear them, but 10 others did, prompting huge backlash on social media from Trump's critic, who viewed the red cap as very divisive. And they weren't nice. They weren't nice on Twitter and on Facebook. One of the messages read to the team, in 1980, you beat the Russians, and yesterday the Russians beat you. Urzion says, if I knew we were going to piss off this many people, we probably would not have put the hats on. You know, he's 65 now. He served as the team's captain. The big question here, and a lot of stuff that I received, was you guys said it was not political, but when you put on the hats, you made it political. And I guess it does. I guess you do make it political when you put on those hats. And he says, if I had to do it again, I would not do it again. We don't live in a world anymore where you can stand on stage with the president of the United States and it not be political. That's probably a shame. We'll be right back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.